I would like to invite you to open your Bibles in Luke chapter 18, verse 18 to 30. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 30. Before we read, I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, may you give me grace to speak today. May our hearts and ears be open to your word. And may it transform our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 18, verse 18 to 30. And the ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard these, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." May the Lord bless his word. This is a very, very, very famous passage. Everybody knows it. I remember when I was a kid, I told my mom, "Mom, I don't want to be rich because that means I'm not going to go to heaven. I don't want that. I want to go to heaven so badly." And so we grow up and then we have more understanding. And absolutely, just to make sure very clear, Jesus is not talking about rich. If you're rich, you're not going to heaven. He's talking about those who love money so much that they forgot that the Lord of all is Jesus Christ. This is for sure. But today I want to see the scriptures and I want to take Jesus' words very, very meaningful and almost literally, because I want us to understand what Jesus was trying to teach here. So when we read this, we right away we think about the rich young ruler and we say, his problem is because he loves money. That's his problem. It's true. But you're going to see that that was not his main problem. His main issue here, it's something that we talked about when I first came to this church. I told you that the God is Lord and we must love him with all our hearts. See in verse 18 how the young ruler approaches Jesus Christ. He says, "Lord," that's not what he says. He says, "Good teacher. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And pay attention on verse 20. All these, Jesus gives him a lot of commandments. And in verse 20, he says, "All the commandments I have kept since I was a boy." So he approaches Jesus not in the right approach. He doesn't see Jesus as his Lord. He sees Jesus only as a good teacher. And if you can relate to nowadays, there are so many great philosophers, great scientists. If you ask, who is Jesus? They're not going to deny the fact that Jesus came to earth. They're going to say, a great man, a wise man. He's good. But if you ask them, is he the Savior? They're going to step back. They're not going to acknowledge Jesus as the Lord and Savior. They acknowledge Jesus as a good teacher, as a good example, but they cannot acknowledge Jesus as the Savior of the world, as the only true way to God, as the Lord. So the great mistake, I would say, of the young ruler, it's not only that he loved money so much, is the fact that he approached Jesus without realizing that in front of him, it was the Lord. He approached Jesus just as a disciple would approach a rabbi. There were many rabbis in Jerusalem back then, and he thought that Jesus was just another rabbi. And we're going to see on the way that Peter, another disciple, he just not approached Jesus as a good teacher. He approaches Jesus as the Lord. As me and you, we are supposed to approach Jesus as the Lord. So he comes to Jesus in this, I like to call, the classroom environment. He comes, I see my teacher, and I'm a good student. Look at what Jesus do to him. Jesus take him out of the environment of the classroom, and he brings him to the true environment, the kingdom of God. I want you to see verse 22. Verse 22 says, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Let me ask you a question. What sense does it make sense if me or someone else tell you to sell all your things and give to someone else? Nobody can do that, pay attention, unless he's the owner of the thing. With my things, I can say, sell and give to the poor, not with someone else's thing. So do you see here what Jesus does to this man? He says like, hey, young rich ruler, you're coming to me in a classroom environment. You think I'm just a good teacher. I am the Lord. I own everything that you see, that you have, it's mine. Therefore, Jesus has the authority to tell him, get everything you have, because by the way, it's mine, and sell to the poor. Then follow me. So Jesus takes him out of this environment of classroom and brings him to the environment of the kingdom of God. And it's easy for us to look at to the young rich ruler and maybe blame him. But I want you to relate with this. How many areas of our lives that Jesus is the Lord, but it's still not touched by him? Because when Jesus comes to us, we have that, no, Jesus, don't touch here. You know, this feeling that I have here, this regret that I have here, this envy that I have here. No, please don't touch here. You can touch in everywhere. You can touch in my relationships, but you can't touch of my finances. You can touch on my worship, but you cannot touch on my prayer life. Jesus is the owner of all our lives, every aspect of it. Therefore, he can command us that. So Jesus did this to this young ruler. And what I want to tell us is this. Jesus' place in our heart, it's of a Lord, not only a good teacher. If Jesus is not the first, he will never be the second, he will never be the last. He is the first in our lives. So, what does it mean to have Jesus as the Lord of our lives? It is not a one-time event. Sometimes we think that it's a one-time event. One day I prayed, so Jesus is my Lord. No, it begins with a prayer, it begins with a surrender, but it goes from there to the end. It is also not only to come to church on Sundays. That's a part of it, but it's not limited to it. And other people might think that having Jesus as their Lord and Savior is just what they say. You know, the Christians who are not active Christians, non-practicant Christians, if you ask them, what do you believe? They're going to say Jesus. But then you say like, okay, so you read your Bible, you have a relationship with him, you come to church, you're involved with the body of Christ, and they're going to say, no, I just say he is my Lord, but my life is not there. So what does it mean to have Jesus as the Lord of our lives, as the owner of everything? I'm going to read this quotation. It is the commitment of the heart that bounds us to Jesus until the rest of our lives, at all costs. It is the commitment of the heart that bounds us to Jesus until the rest of our lives, at all costs. So this is what Jesus did with this first disciple, the young ruler. He came, the young ruler said to Jesus, what I do, Jesus said, okay, let me show you that to follow me, you need to be committed at all costs. Everything that you have, it's mine. Everything, who you are, belongs to me. That's the approach that Jesus have with his disciple. So what was the answer of this young rich ruler? He rejected. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. So this man, he had his heart in his wealthy, but his first problem was his heart wasn't in Jesus. How do I know that? Because the Bible mentioned other rich people who were true servants of the Lord. Naming a few, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, wealth people, and yet they served the Lord. When Jesus died on the day of his death, there was a rich man who served Jesus with his wealth, Joseph of Arimathea. He carried Jesus and buried him on the grave. So there were rich people who served Jesus, because they understood that Jesus was the Lord. But this young ruler, because he didn't understand that Jesus was the Lord, also the rest of his life wasn't touched. The next verse, Jesus, although he is the Lord, he is indeed a good teacher. So he gets this whole situation and he uses it to teach. And look what he's going to teach. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Next verse. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Scholars debate if Jesus was being literal or not in these words. Some say, yes, Jesus, he literally meant what he said word by word, that it's hard for the rich to go to heaven. And some other says, no, he's using a metaphor, hyperbole. He's just getting something to make an impact. And then the scholars went to study, and they realized that back in the days, the cities were surrounded by walls, high walls, because you need to be protected from an eventual attack. And so the walls had big gates, but also the walls had small gates. And then they said, those are the eyes of the needle that Jesus is talking about. Because through those doors, the camels had to go to do business. You don't need to open the gates. You just go, if it's a small business, you do it through the sidewalls, through the eyes of the needle. And the teaching here would be that the door is so small and the camel is so big that there is only one way for the camel to go through. He must offload. If he offload whatever goodies he has, then the camel goes through the eye of the needle, and later the riches comes out after him through the eye of the needle, which is a great teaching. And it's completely applicable to this passage. But today I would like to see it as Jesus saying, as he did say. Not as an illustration, but that he did mean what he say. And how do I know that? Because of verse 26. No, yes, verse 26. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? It was so, Jesus was being so literal that everybody got scared. Jesus, how come? How come am I not going to be saved if I have wealth? Am I going to need to live poor the rest of my life to be saved? Jesus was being literal. But here is why. It was an interpretation of the Bible. An interpretation of the law. So, when God gave the law to Moses, the law was made about two things. If you obey me, you'll be blessed. If you don't obey me, you're not going to be blessed. So when, 1,000 years after the law of Moses, they're doing their lives, they see someone who is blessed financially. They say, this man keeps God's commandment. This man has God's blessing. And so they see someone who wasn't being blessed. They look, maybe you're not blessed because you're not keeping God's commandments. So that was the mind. That was the interpretation that everybody had on those days. So Jesus looked at them and say, you know what? You know the person that you people think are the most and highly blessed? Remember the young ruler question? What can I do to inherit the life? Keep the commandments. So if you keep the commandments, you're blessed. Jesus was taking this young ruler, this mentality that all the nation have, that if you keep the commandments, you're going to be saved. Jesus saying, even you, the best, you cannot be saved unless by the grace of God. This is the first teaching, and that's why Jesus is so literal. He's saying that salvation cannot be bought or earned. Salvation is a gift from God to the rich or to the poor, to the Jew or to the Gentile, to those who are close and to those who are far. It's a free gift that everybody receives, not through the obedience of the law, but through Jesus Christ himself. This is the first teaching he's teaching there. And the second teaching is this one. True wealth is spiritual. Because that's also what the people got it wrong. And sometimes we also get it wrong. So the people look at the young ruler who follows the commandments, who are very wealthy, and they say, this man is surely blessed by God. This man is surely in good stands with God. This man is surely saved. And Jesus looked to that man that they think is surely saved and say, if he doesn't follow me, unless he follows me, unless he receives me. So Jesus starts to show the true wealth. And that's what we're going to see in the other disciple, which is Peter. Look at verse 28. Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. Jesus said, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. Jesus opened the mind of everyone there comparing the young ruler and the Peter, showing that the wealth that Peter had, it was a true wealth. So the young ruler had his properties, had his servants, had his bank account, had his annual income, but that was the limit he had. On the other hand, Peter, his prosperity were increasing day by day. When they went to a new town and someone believed in Jesus and someone received Jesus as the Lord of their lives and someone became a Christian, now Peter, he had a new family. He had a new resource. In the day of distress, Peter had an emergency in a new city. Peter had a new family in a new city. Peter had resources, even financial, in a new city. And when he went to the next city, new believers, new disciples, Peter had more family, more resources, and more someone to run to in time of distress. But the young rich ruler, he had to go only on his own pace. What he has, it's what he had. In the meantime, everyone who made Jesus his master and followed him, the wealth, the true spiritual wealth, it was added day by day, wherever they go. And I want to illustrate this with my example. When I was 20 years old, I decided to go into the ministerial life. And I had to leave. I had to say the same words that Peter said. Jesus, I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to leave my house. I'm going to leave everything that I have to follow you. And today I know what is true wealthy. As just I started this today, the service, saying that my mom was very happy to see that my family increased. I have family in Canada. If I were in Brazil with my wealth, like the young rich ruler, the only family I would have is still the same. All my resources expanded because I got too much network. But if I were still in Brazil, My network was like this, so small. You see the true wealth that every disciple of Jesus can have. Not the young ruler. The young ruler, it's too stuck. It doesn't give you freedom. The other one not only gives you freedom, but it increases day by day. That's the true wealth. And I'm talking only about maybe material resources. I'm not going to add the fact that once you have the freedom in Christ, you have the peace, you have the love. Even in the troubled days, you have the arms of your friends. I have left my mom behind, but I got so many pastors. I have left my brother behind, but I got so many brothers and sisters. This is true wealth. After Jesus taught all of this with this example, I want to show you guys this text now in an overview, the way that I believe you guys will never see this text anymore. So, this text is about Jesus and his two disciples, the young ruler and Peter. The young ruler had his material wealth and he was literally stuck, holded, enslaved to it. Peter had all his, the kingdom, God's kingdom family as his wealth. But now let me compare the other two guys of this passage, which is Jesus himself and the young ruler. I never realized, and it was the first time that I realized, this text is not about the one man who is rich. It's about two men who are very rich. One, it's rich. The other one, it's very, very, very rich. The first rich one is the young ruler. He has his properties. Let me try to describe or illustrate this in Toronto. He has his 20 to 40 properties. He has his business. He has 2 to 3 years of savings in his bank account. He has multiples investments, Bitcoin, stocks. He has everything. But then you call him, hey, let's go to a mission trip. Because he calls himself a disciple, right? Let's go to a mission trip. I need you to go to a mission trip for 2 weeks to share the good news of God. He's going to tell you, I can't. I have too much property here. My business is going on. I can't go. I need to stay. This is the young ruler. That's his wealth. But now I'm going to show you the very, very, very rich man of the story. Jesus Christ. He's the owner of everything. Everything. Nobody has more properties than him. And he shows that in the text telling the young rich ruler, go and sell it. It's mine. Yet, if you call him to a 2 weeks mission trip, he will go. Because his wealth, it's true wealth. It doesn't slave him. He is free. Let me show you Jesus' wealth. He's so wealth. He's the Lord of everyone. But yet he becomes our servant to serve us, to save us. You know when you are in front of a big, great person, it's when that person can be humble. There is something that I really, really, really dislike when I see. It's seeing people who can help the others and they are still, they don't help. Like, man, you just give the hand. I don't know, walk the person across the street. I don't know, whatever the person can do, and the person doesn't do. Having all the resources and capacity to do and the power to do so, but they are still so poor in spirit that they can't do. And Jesus, so rich in spirit that he could do, that he can do. And that's the true wealth of these texts. That the young ruler has stuck in his properties and his business. And the rich Jesus, he is so rich that he is free to go and back, to leave heaven. He never lost heaven. He came back. He conquered the earth. He doubled his wealth because he was so free and so rich in himself. What's my prayer today, and what's the lesson of this passage, is that we can see what only Jesus could see, and that we can learn what Jesus taught us. Wealth, it's the spiritual one. And they walk together with everything that is immaterial. There is no two parallel worlds, one spiritual, one material. No, they walk together. But if we are not true wealth in our spirit, we'll never be able to use the resources that Jesus gave us in the way he wants us to use. Amen. Amen.